WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Are you troubled by crawling insects? E.G. Marshall was.
Bug problem. Once you get bugs, you never get rid of them. Breed in the crawl spaces, in the conduits, the very core of the building itself.
In the film Creepshow, E.G. Marshall played a millionaire Howard Hughes-type hermit whose germ-free penthouse was mysteriously infested by cockroaches. These cockroaches were supplied and handled by entomologist David Brody. In Hollywood parlance, he's known as a bug wrangler. In the new film The Believers, he worked with tarantulas and centipedes. But his tour de force was directing more than 22,000 cockroaches for Creepshow. I asked David Brody how he rounded up all those bugs, including 2,000 giant roaches from Trinidad.
I made some calls to Washington, and I found out that if I was very careful, I can import the giant cave roach from Trinidad. They flew us to Trinidad, and you would sit on the floor of the cave, and the cave floor was covered in bat guano, bat droppings. Now, because the cave was dry, these droppings had the consistency of coffee beans. You would sit down on the floor with your legs crossed, and the ground, the coffee beans would undulate because beneath them were the roaches. And we got about two-thirds of the roaches that we needed out of that. And then we went down to the lower cave, and that was a very wet cave, very disturbing cave because it was narrow and constricting. And there was one point within that cave where you really had to wiggle through. And that's when the bats left that cave, they made a slight drop in their flight path, and that's where they defecated. So you had water dripping there. Now, coming out of the cave after collecting the roaches, my hand sort of slipped into that morass, and I wanted to amputate my hand at that point. It was very, very unpleasant.
How did you survive this experience?
Well, I'm a naturalist, and anything alive is sort of grist for our mill. We just love living things, love being around them, love being in the tropics, and we survive pretty adequately.
How do you bring them on the airplane with
them
back to the States?
We pack them in egg cartons and then light plywood boxes. All this was constructed here in the States and brought to Trinidad with us. We landed at Kennedy. The USDA people, of course, were there. And once we told them what we had, they really didn't want to have any part of them. They sort of peeked in. We offered to open the boxes, and of course, they said, no. And we got through with them. From there, we flew on to Pittsburgh with them, where the actual filming was. And they had a huge trailer for us, which we, of course, dubbed the Roach Motel. And now, the other roaches were laboratory bred at biological supply houses around the country, and that's where approximately 20,000 American roaches came into the act.
The name that you're given when you work on a movie is Roach Wrangler or Tarantula Wrangler.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the word wrangler used
That's a movie term. Horse wranglers, cow wranglers, and it sort of just trickled down. But I think it's a good term. I think it's exactly what we do.
How do you control roaches on a set? If they're actors, you tell them what their positions are, and you yell positions, and everything's all set. How do the roaches know where their positions are?
You build corrals for them, and you give the impression that they're doing things. And you can get them to move in directions by air current, by light. The very things that govern their lives, essentially, is how we use them. The scenes where they're coming up out of the sink were done with giant plastic syringes, and we just sort of pumped them in. My favorite scene in that movie was, of course, the bed scene, when he flips the covers off the bed, and the whole bed is just covered with a mass of undulating roaches. I thought that was just really terrific.
I thought that was pretty scary myself, and this is still all in Creepshow that you're talking about.
Right.
Is there any way to knock out roaches you can put them to sleep for a while?
We did that a lot. We use CO2 gas, and you put roaches in giant plastic bags, and you pump in CO2 gas, and they slowly come awake. And depending on how much gas you give them, you can regulate that to some degree.
Have you been involved in scenes where an actor or actress couldn't cope with the insects on the set?
Never. Never. Never happened.
Do you do little consciousness-raising sessions beforehand to tell them the real story of the insects they're going to be working with?
I've never had to do that. It's interesting. When I worked on Creepshow with E.G. Marshall, here we had all these roaches, and I believe it was in his contract that no roaches were to be on him. But it turned out that his son is a naturalist and travels all over the world catching bizarre insects and spiders and everything else. So he was pretty well acquainted with them, and he had fun with the role and fun with the insects. We had them on his sleeves, and there was no problem.
One of my concerns would be, if I were doing a movie like this, is what happens to the roaches after the shoot? You have 22,000 roaches running around a set. I mean, who'd want 22,000 roaches, not only in the set, but added to the city that it's being filmed in? Is there any way to ensure that you can gather them all up and control them when you're finished?
Well, the government regulations that I had with the permit stated that all the imported roaches had to be frozen and then burned, which is what we did. It was a wonderful job, by the way. It wasn't one that I was particularly happy to do. I don't like to kill animals. I really don't. But it was the only way. We just had too many of them to deal with.
Well, one of the most shocking moments in recent entertainment television was when the magicians Penn and Teller appeared on the David Letterman show, and Letterman said, "I want you to really surprise me." So Teller put his magician's hat on Letterman's desk, then lifted it up a little bit later to reveal hundreds of roaches, which immediately took over Letterman's desk. Letterman was absolutely horrified, or at least that's how
he sure was.
He appeared to be. Now, you were the wrangler that Penn and Teller used to get those roaches. When they called you up and asked you to surprise David Letterman live on television, what did you think of the idea?
Well, it was a matter of getting Penn and Teller to learn to handle the insects, and they did that pretty well. When it came to the final roundup, they just pitched in and helped. They helped me scoop them up, which says a lot for Penn and Teller. And we got them all back except for one, which showed up the next night when Julia Child was doing some cooking, I understand. I thought that was rather amusing.
So you're sure you got all of them except for one?
Well, we hope so.
Are there any ethical questions that you run into in your line of work, since you must get asked to do very unusual things with insects?
In my mind, I don't like to kill any insect unless I absolutely have to. And frequently, I did a shoot just with live bees recently, and I returned those bees to the wild. And I did The Believers, and there was a scene in The Believers where I had to pick up a live centipede and run a pin through it. And I had a very hard time deciding whether I would do it. And I finally did a little bit of research into the anatomy of the insect and the physiology of the insect. It's not an insect, I'm sorry, it's an arachnid. And I decided that I could do it and the animal would survive. And I did it. And as a matter of fact, we had to do that take twice. And the animal is still alive at the museum, in my office at the museum. So the research there paid off. But I don't think I would do it again. I really don't. It really disturbed me. I mean, the scene was dynamite in the movie. It was a very nice scene, but it really bothered me to do it.
What bothers you is the thought of torturing insects.
That's right. I don't like to do that at all.
You like and respect insects. And in some of the movies, like Creepshow, viewers end up getting so repulsed by the insects, in part because there's so many of them swarming all over. Do you ever feel like you're reinforcing our fear and hatred of the bugs that you respect?
Well, of course, that's what you're doing. But there's very little hope for the urban person. The urban person doesn't know what insects do, doesn't get out and see what they're capable of, doesn't see their beauty. I get a tremendous kick out of walking along the right-of-way of the Long Island Railroad tracks and looking at the plants and looking at the insects and looking at what the insects are doing. And it's something that it's hard to turn that into words, and the absolute fascination that's there in the everyday insects, like a ladybug feeding on an aphid, which is what ladybugs do, and that's why they're so valuable, or a milkweed bug, which is brilliantly colored to warn other insects that it's not very palatable. These are everyday things, and they're just so wonderful, and the average person doesn't really know or really care, the urban person. They don't have the time and the inclination to really delve into that. And that's basically what my life revolves around. It revolves around living things and seeing this beauty and this wonder all the time.
David Brody, I want to thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Entomologist and bug wrangler, David Brody.